Badlands. Run into Badlands. Explain those Badlands. That's a hell of a name.
Are you concerned about the $6 trillion at stake in the upcoming 2024 election? The Wall Street Journal has reported a critical issue, the looming decision on extending tax cuts scheduled to expire after 2025. Republicans advocate for extending Trump's tax cuts, while Democrats lean towards letting them expire and increasing taxes on top earners and corporations, potentially creating a massive $6 trillion gap. But fear not, there's a way to protect yourself from this impending threat. Join the thousands of hardworking Americans who are taking proactive steps to safeguard their savings. Visit BadlandsGold.com to claim your free 2024 gold and silver kit and fortify everything you've worked for. You may even qualify for up to 10% back in bonus silver. But hurry, supplies are limited. Get your free 2024 gold and silver kit today at BadlandsGold.com and take control of your financial destiny.
Welcome to Knowledge Base, episode 72. Today we're going to break down the woke agenda, and this time we're going to focus on gun control. Jordan, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I mean, there's so many aspects of the woke agenda we could go through. We were listing them all out. We've been talking to them about them here on Knowledge Base for a couple of months, and now it's time for gun control. A big one in the every election cycle, every year with seemingly false flag shootings that get pulled, and you hear the same talking points from certain politicians that don't know really anything about firearms. So yeah, we figured this would be a good one to dive into.
Yeah, I think this is going to be one that a lot of people resonate with, and there's this one in particular is used quite a bit to push the needle of tyranny down pretty hard. So I think this is going to be a good one for people a lot. So let's get right into it here. So I got basically, I think it's about 11 false claims of gun control that we can just rip right into. And one of the first ones is that shootings would stop if we banned AR-15s or other semi-auto rifles, and we raised the minimum age for firearm ownership. So this is kind of like a general one covering a bunch of stuff. But it's this idea that, you know, criminals actually spend time to go to gun shops and go through the whole legal process to get their guns that they're going to use for committing criminal acts. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I mean, even before we start diving into these claims, we could talk about just the general, I don't want to say need, but the general, what warrants a citizenry having firearms. Why do we want a citizenry to have firearms? And that's purely not just for self-protection, but also to be able to put food on the table, but also to protect against tyrannical governments. And we can look at fascist dictators throughout history, Hitler, Mao, Stalin, there's others. And one of the first things they did when they got into power was to disarm their citizenry. So it's, you know, it's important for a variety of reasons. Now, I'm not saying everybody needs to go out and purchase all kinds of firearms or even have one. I was really never interested in the topic myself. I was never against guns, but I was never really pro-gun, really until just a couple of years ago, maybe 2-3 years ago. Then I got really into it and I went through a phase. But then I started realizing how just inanimate they are. Like, they're not dangerous things. They're not gonna go off. They're just there, and how helpful they are for self-protection. I was living in Washington State at the time, and I had my car broken into twice, and crime was just getting so bad. I think I purchased my first gun. That's right. It was COVID. It was during the beginning of COVID, and stuff was getting real weird, real crazy. So I figured, well, it's probably time to purchase something. And I went out and got a Glock 19. So it's only been, you know, a few years, but it made me realize the need for one for self-protection, and just the general sense of arming a citizenry, responsible citizenry, against a tyrannical government. And this idea of, oh, if we ban guns, I guess getting into the claims here now, if we just ban guns, then things are going to get better. Well, okay, many examples we could use to counterpoint that. Number one, just look at Chicago. Great, all kinds of, you know, people illegally owning firearms and putting switches, putting pieces in their firearms to make them fully automatic. That didn't stop them. Tougher gun laws. And also, just look at other countries like London or France. They don't really have any firearms in those countries, but you've got criminals that go on stabbing sprees and use knives instead of firearms to hurt people. So you can't, what you're going to expect a criminal to follow laws? Great, create tougher gun laws. You're just going to take firearms out of the hands of responsible citizenry, not allow them to defend themselves, and then give the criminals free rein. Which it's mind-boggling that not only do they want to do that, take self-defense tools out of law-abiding citizens' hands, allow the criminals free rein, but they also want to defund the police at the same time.
Yep.
It's insane. You would think that if you're going to make tougher gun laws, criminals are going to get more free rein. You would at least help support the police departments, but no, it's just a total cluster mess with what's going on in these cities like Chicago.
Yeah, the crime rate has gone up traditionally when they take guns out of the hands of the people. And I think this is something especially that was maybe a lot more prominent, or the perspective on this was a lot easier for Americans to grapple with, because prior to somewhere around the late 1800s, we didn't have any official law enforcement organizations. And even back then, they were pretty privatized. So if you lived out in a town in the West and you didn't have your own firearm, you didn't know how to use it and then rally with the people you lived with to defend yourself, then you would be marauded by Indians or criminals or you name it. So needing a firearm and needing to defend yourself is kind of one of these like eternal concepts. Like we always have needed these things, and arguably it's just as important back then as it was today, except maybe the bad guys aren't the engines anymore. It's the government itself and the people that are going to come in, like MS-13 gang members or things like this, and take advantage of a disarmed population. So
and a thousand years ago during the Middle Ages, it was, I mean, how often did men walk around with a sword on their hips? That was this prime self-defense tool of the time. All the time. It was, you know, if you weren't walking around with a sword on your hip, you were probably looked at as being weird or weak. So it's always really been that way, that people walked around and conducted business in their day-to-day lives with some sort of self-defense tool, bow and arrow, sword, knife, dagger, axe, something on their person. And yet in this day and age, not only do certain members of the government and people in society want to ban firearms, but there's also laws on carrying blades that are too long or that on your person too. So it's pretty insane. And they say, oh, we're a civilized society now, we don't need that stuff. Well, okay, go hiking in the woods and have a mountain lion attack you or a bear attack you and see how you change your mind. And then also one last point on this, as the gun control lobby loves to often do, misrepresent statistics. They often say, well, look at all of the gun crime that's in these red states like Louisiana. Having firearms, you know, open firearm laws doesn't work because look at all the gun crime in these states. Well, misrepresented statistics. The gun crime that's in these typically conservative states are in the big Democrat, big blue run cities.
Mm-hmm.
Prime example, Louisiana, you're looking at New Orleans. So if you get deeper statistics or look down further, it's in the blue run cities in these red states where the gun crime is. And in these blue cities, they, you know, don't let, they have tougher gun laws. So in actual red areas, you know, go out into the country or what have you, there's guns all over the place, and gun crime, gun violence really isn't all that bad. And honestly, you look at how many firearms there are just in the US in general, we're talking 400 million firearms in a country of 350 million people. That's over one firearm per person in this country. The gun crime truly is so incredibly low so incredibly low, 0.00000 something percent. So it's really not as much of an issue as people on the left or people in other countries. I see a lot of times folks in the UK or France or Australia, they're scared by the propaganda. They think gun crime and gun violence is such a huge problem in the United States of America. It's really not at all, like at all.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a fundamental aspect of human defense. I mean, the government is supposed to help you defend and protect your rights. That's why we the people created the government in the first place. And yet they're going to disarm us, which is one of our most fundamental rights to defend and protect ourselves.
Right.
It's just insanity. But it's all because of what we've been talking about in the series, this woke agenda. And, you know, to incorporate some of that into it, the woke agenda is all about selling people on a grand lie so that then we can usher in the so-called New World Order or a globalist world. So the end result is often the same when these things are coming about, which is less power for you and your family, more power for the globalists, and more totalitarian control over our lives.
Yep. And the woke agenda is based on emotions, saving people, saving humans, human rights, saving the planet. These feel good, superficial phrases, but when you dig down into the actual agenda, it's the complete opposite, 180 degree opposite.
Yep, exactly. So another one here that is worth considering is this idea that the Second Amendment is only for militias or organized law enforcement or military forces or hunting. Like the founding fathers, they were really big hunting enthusiasts and they wanted to make sure we had the right to kill chipmunks and, you know, mooses and things like this. So this is one of these myths that's out there. And I think it's pretty ridiculous. I mean, you'd have to be so uninformed about the history of the country, who we were fighting against, the fact that we were sharing the continent with, you know, native populations that were hardly, you know, kumbaya singers, although that's kind of the message that's told to us now, is that the Indians were just, like, you know, weaving flowers through their hair and, you know, sitting around having great moments of friendship, when in reality there was not exactly a paradise. So you have any thoughts on this one?
So one narrative from the gun control lobby is that they say the Second Amendment is outdated because the wording of the Second Amendment states that states a well-regulated militia. And they say, well, we don't need militias anymore because government military police, so et cetera, et cetera. But when you look at the term well-regulated in context of how it was used in the 16 and 1700s, well-regulated meant well-trained, essentially. So it was the training that was being emphasized there, not regulated by the government, but essentially self-regulation. So the Second Amendment is, the wording of it is typically taken out of context by the gun control lobby in an effort to say the Second Amendment doesn't apply anymore and we need to get rid of it.
Yep, exactly. Then we have this one that, which goes along with this one. So it's the idea that our rights don't come from God. They don't come from some bigger than human entity or source. It comes from governments. And therefore, if we decide as a government that we don't want people to have guns, they're not going to have them. This is something that's been repopularized, I would argue, for over the past few years or so. And they're kind of painting the idea that your rights come from God as this, like, Christian nationalist shenanigans that, you know, only idiots who believe in Jesus believe these kind of things. But, you know, we've talked about it on the show. I did a whole episode on it a few episodes back about, from an epistemological perspective, there's no other source of rights that we can possibly come up with. Because rights don't just exist in the human world, they exist transcendent of the human world. And so if they're not coming from some source outside of humanity, a higher power, then where are they coming, right? Are they coming from? And they don't really have an answer. Any comment on this one?
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. Rights coming from the government? Come on. That's all I have to say about that.
So then we got
number three.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's see. The Second Amendment only applies to colonial weapons, not modern, quote, rapid fire, quote, assault rifles. So let's see here. Number one, there is no legal or technical definition to what an assault rifle is. That is a vague term thrown out by the mainstream media and politicians just to scare people with the word assault. That really doesn't mean anything. And it is, when you actually look at the laws and regulations, it's quite difficult for a citizen to get an automatic or quote unquote rapid fire firearm, a fully automatic firearm. You have to pay a tax stamp and file paperwork and go through a lot of financial and legal hoops to be able to obtain a fully automatic firearm. And it depends also on the state you're in. It is citizens can get semi-automatic firearms, which means one trigger pull, one bullet goes off, release your finger from the trigger, you have to pull it again to fire another bullet. Granted, if your trigger finger goes fast enough, you can fire a lot of rounds, but you know, I'm sure the government would love to ban people's trigger fingers, but they can't do that. So rapid fire is a vague term that's sort of meaningless and depends on the person's ability. Assault rifle really doesn't mean anything. Colonial weapon, I'm assuming they mean the good old black powder can only fire around a minute because you got to load the whole thing through the barrel again. You know, I'm sure our founding fathers, when they were writing the Second Amendment, would have absolutely loved to have a modern AR-15. And if they could conceive of that, they would have included that into the Second Amendment. But, you know, that's just another way they're trying to redefine or make vague terms in order to attempt to ban firearms.
Yeah, exactly. And I can see how, if you don't know about what the greater context of this is, which is that we have armaments and rights to use them because we as humans have rights. We have children of God have rights, and we have the right to protect our rights and our property from people who act in bad faith, cheat, are criminals, want to take our lives, steal our women, these kind of things. So if you've been living in a cushy Democrat city, or you don't have any idea of where these things come from, it might seem like a plausible explanation, like, oh, well, you know, the founding fathers didn't have, you know, assault rifles, quote unquote, so we shouldn't necessarily have them either. But the spirit of the reason why we have these rights is important, and that is totally ignored by an argument like this. So
even the founding fathers, you know, going after the British with their muskets, wouldn't you call that an assault rifle? They were assaulting the redcoats with a musket. I mean, again, assault rifle means nothing. That word means nothing.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got, let's see. Banning guns takes them away from criminals and therefore protects the people. This is a very popular one. What are your thoughts on this one?
Chicago. That's my thoughts on that, Chicago. Yeah, I mean, truly, you expect criminals to be able to follow the law. And really, question is, how are the criminals getting these firearms? But also, one totally separate point is that the advent with modern technology of 3D printers, you can 3D print most parts to build a firearm. You can't 3D print the barrel. You need that to be metal. And there's a couple other parts that you can't 3D print, but you can essentially 3D print a frame and a lot of the pieces to make a firearm. I've shot 3D printed firearms before. And so how's that? I mean, are they going to ban 3D printers then? Well, funny, in New York, I know there was a Democrat state senator there that introduced a bill to make people take background checks to buy 3D printers for precisely that reason, is because some people use 3D printers to print firearms. So with the advent of modern technology, I mean, how? Just try. How would they even ban firearms? And then, okay, people are just going to skirt the laws. And anyway, Yeah, criminals are not going to follow those laws. They'll get a firearm however they can, whether it's something imported from over the border, 3D print them, whatever the case. And it's just not gonna work.
Introducing Van Man's new tallow and honey soap that has quickly become Van Man's most in-demand product. No extra ingredients, no fillers, just honey and vanilla in pure grass-fed tallow that produces a luxurious lather only found from real animal fat soap. The response has been crazy, so grab a few bars while you can. While you're there, be sure to stock up on natural organic remedies like our famous tallow and honey balm, miracle tooth powder, and new tallow and zinc sunblock. They've got you covered, and they do it all from products sourced naturally from American farms made in San Diego, California. Visit badlandsmedia.tv/vanman today and get free shipping on all orders over $40. That's badlandsmedia.tv/vanman.
I'm excited to announce we're having a huge MyPillow spring sale. And here's a few examples. Buy one of our MyPillow 2.0s, you get another MyPillow 2.0 absolutely free. Made with cooling technology, the best pillow ever just got even better. And this just in, 9 brand new colors and styles of our Percale bed sheets. They're made with the finest long staple cotton, and now you can save 50% or more. That's as low as $24.98. And for the first time this year, I'm bringing you our My Slippers and Sandals for as low as $25 a pair. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get your MyPillow 2.0s. Buy one, get one free. Percale sheets as low as $24.98. My Slippers and Sandals as low as $25 a pair. And for a limited time, when you order $75 or more, your entire order ships absolutely free.
Yeah, it's not going to have any effect. But most criminals do not follow the legal process to get their firearm before they decide to go and commit criminal acts.
No, so that's that one.
The Second Amendment wasn't for defending against tyrannical government. We kind of covered this one a little bit, but you know that is exactly what it was created for, primarily. So anyone who flouts that one obviously doesn't know their history. Number five, some weapons don't count as an arm protected by the Second Amendment. This one's an interesting one. You know, some people say that we should have access to nukes because if the government has it, then we should have it, or bioweapons and things like this. What are your thoughts on this one?
What did Joe Biden say? Didn't he say make this point with F-16s or something like that?
Right, yeah.
People don't need F-16s because the government or something like that. Yeah, well, technically the big scary black rifle AR-15 is considered quite a small caliber. It shoots a what's called a 5.56 round, and that is technically small arms. In many states, AR-15s that shoot a 5.56 caliber are illegal to hunt with because it's too small to take down deer and elk and animals of the sort. So legally, you can't hunt with 5.56 rifles in some states. They need to be a bigger caliber, like a 308 caliber or something of the sort. So if you can't legally hunt with an AR-15, then it's considered somewhat of a small to medium round, then why is it so scary in the news media? Some weapons don't count as an arm. Now, no, I'm not trying to get nukes. I don't care if the government has nukes. Well, I do care if the government has nukes, but yeah, this point is just ridiculous. There's too many counterpoints to be able to make with this one, and it's just vague terminology.
Yeah, exactly. It would be a fun one to dig into and the nuance of that. I didn't have time to really dig into the basis, but it is an interesting question for sure. So, all right. So then this one's interesting, but I also think it's BS. I mean, if you raise the purchase age to 21 from 18, is this somehow really going to do anything? And I would think, you know, no, it's not really going to do much of anything. But what it does do is it's that encroachment, I think. It's more of a tactic to get us buttered up for accepting disarmament or whatever the end game for this thing is. Because if we can have a concession, you know, when you're dealing with a cheater, the cheater is going to use every trick in the book to try to get you to concede ground. And then with that ground, they're going to do whatever they need to do with it. But because they're a cheater, because they're acting in bad faith, the very principle of conceding ground to them is something you should not entertain and should not give them. I forget the old adage, but it's like, you know, if you've got somebody who's foaming at the mouth and, you know, wants something and you give it to them thinking, oh, well, I'll just make them happy and then they'll leave me alone. Well, it doesn't work that way. Same thing with bullies. If you're dealing with a bully and you, you know, give the bully what he wants, he's trying to take your hat and you give it to him like, oh, well, the bully will leave me alone now. No, he's not going to leave you alone. He's going to increase up the thing that he wants to do to mess with you. And I kind of think that's what's going on with this one. Any thoughts?
Yep. Give him an inch and they'll take a mile. It's just moving the goalposts sort of thing. Raising the purchase age to 21, maybe that would help. But then the whole point of being able to sign up for the military at 18 and go to war, that nullifies that whole point. I mean, okay, so you're going to make the citizenry wait till they're 21, but allow 18-year-olds to sign up and go to a foreign country to fight a rich man's war with firearms and fully automatic machine guns and all that. It's pointless. So why, you know, plus kind of bringing back to the point of the Middle Ages, it seems like we are delaying the growth or delaying the maturity of our children. Or what, I mean, think back 1,000 years ago, what would be the age you would classify then as being a quote unquote adult with full rights? Like they were probably sending 15 and 16-year-olds to war. And you could probably take a 15-year-old from even 300 years ago, but 500, 1,000 years ago. And they were probably far more mature and able to handle self-defense weaponry responsibly and all of that more than a 25 or 30 year old these days, like far more mature. So yeah, this point is we're just sort of delaying the growth of our youth and expecting them to just be idiots until they're 21 years old, I guess. I mean, you can make your own decisions at 18, 19. It's still quite young. You're still learning a lot about the world. You know, I don't think 18-year-olds should be going out there and smoking a bunch of pot and drinking a bunch of booze, but you're still able to make decisions. So,
yeah. And if you look back, I mean, my wife's grandfather, he used to bring his gun to school. They would have like training sessions, you know, when he was in, I think it was middle school. So, you know, to your point, this idea that somehow, like, by raising the age, we create this magical shield around violence, it just doesn't make sense in any way you dice it. And if anything, you know, there's a, I guess, a broader question of, well, is it, if we delay or create a delay between the age of when somebody can get something or not, does that provide them, you know, protect society as if people get more mature? You know, I don't think that even works at a psychological level. Like maturity, and when it comes to making good decisions, almost has nothing to do with age to a certain extent. So yeah.
Yeah, man. Like my parents are from Montana, and in middle school, they were going to the local police department because the police department would have firearms class in their range at the police department. So
there you go.
And that was just back in the 70s. In my family, there's often, you know, we teach, I know my cousins, my siblings and all that, they taught their kids to shoot at 6, 7, 8 years old, started them off with a tiny caliber, a little 22, but showing them how to use it responsibly, training them on safety rules and all of that. I mean, it's not a bad thing to start a child off young. Plus, those are rules that they can apply then to so many other areas of their lives. You have dangerous thing, whether it's a firearm, a lawnmower, a car, whatever it is, learn how to use potentially dangerous thing, be safe with it. And I think the younger we can start our kids off with these ideologies, these mindsets, learning these sorts of things, the better they're going to be when they're adults.
100%. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a great one. All right. What's next up on the list? Gun-free zones are safer because there are less armed people.
Schools.
Schools. Yeah. Like, look at the school shooting thing. I mean, just the idea that you can like create a rule that prevents people from having guns in that space does not mean that there's going to be less violence or it's going to be safer, because this true source of danger or violence is not a firearm necessarily. It's people, and people can do all sorts of things. What are some of your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the school shooting thing is a narrative used by the gun control lobby to ban guns. They say, oh, we'll ban guns, more, you know, school shootings will stop. Well, first of all, if a criminal wants to go shoot up anywhere, they're going to get a gun and be able to do it. So more gun laws isn't going to stop that. But also, there is, of course, the theory with a lot of evidence behind it that many of these school shootings were false flags set up by certain three-letter agencies to push that gun control agenda. So I often say, you know, if you want to stop these school shootings, don't ban guns, investigate the rogue intelligence agencies. So there's that. Then you have claim 7A here, more guns equals more gun violence. We just talked about that earlier, 400 million guns in this country, more than 1.0 guns per person. And I mean, the statistics of the amount of gun violence in this country is incredibly low, incredibly, incredibly low. So.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. It just doesn't square. If we had a little more time, we could pull up a bunch of statistics that correlate with basically the more educated armed people there are, the less violence there tends to be. So, but it's a non sequitur. There's a false comparison here that I think needs to be exposed. So.
Fully.
Places with strict gun control laws don't have shooting problems. That kind of falls into the same category. But do we want to talk about any of that? I know you had mentioned the UK. You know, another good one is Germany was disarmed, and then they became, you know, the horror that is Nazi Germany. So there's not a good correlation, it seems like, between people that have been disarmed and them magically not committing violence anymore.
Right. And you just see the mass stabbing sprees that go on in these countries with huge gun control laws, or just people getting jumped, gangs of young kids or illegal immigrants or whoever going around the streets and just jumping people. So why not? Why not give women and individuals the opportunity to protect themselves with some sort of tool or weapon, i.e. firearm, in these areas? So more guns equals more gun violence is sort of the same point, is less guns equals less violence, but there's really not less violence. And in fact, there's just more of an opportunity for these tyrannical governments to go absolutely insane. Just look at what's going on in Australia and England and Germany and France and these sorts of places. Plus, it's not like these mass shootings don't stop. Christchurch, New Zealand and Norway and these other places. I mean, there are still mass shootings that happen, which then begs the point, well, oh, look, criminal getting gun illegally, do gun laws really work? Less mass shootings in Europe and Australia, New Zealand than there are in America, but that's not because of a Second Amendment and free gun laws. That's because of, you know, bigger intelligence agencies with more resources and all of that. There's other points. So,
yep, 100%. And, you know, we have these ability to defend ourselves, because when you're dealing with criminals, they're not lawful. They're not going to play by the rules. So you have to have that mindset of defending your rights against people like that. And the tyrannical government is exactly the same way. And history bears that out. So red flag laws filter out potential criminals. I guess there could be a case made for this. Back, you know, sometimes a potential criminal is trying to get a gun and he's going to get filtered out. But I don't really think that's the big greater issue here. I mean, I think the greater issue is if you're going to live in a society where you have freedom, and some of those people who have freedom are going to do criminal things because they are misguided or something like that, then you need a way to defend yourself from the people who are actually going to follow the laws properly. And it's just fundamentally easier to have a better situation where you're protecting your family, yourself, your community, when everybody's properly armed and knows what they're doing. And instead of relying on the police, who have been shown to not necessarily show up on time, or to your point earlier, are being defunded, and they might not even have the resources to come and protect you. So,
if you're living out in the sticks and a cop isn't going to be able to show up to your place for 30, 45 minutes, even an hour, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And it's not only humans you need to watch out for, but possibly wildlife as well, bear, wolves, coyotes, mountain lions, what have you. Right. Talking about red flag laws, sure, maybe you might be able to find one case somewhere where a red flag law actually worked, but it is way too freaking easy to make an arbitrary decision or make something super subjective. I don't like my neighbor because he's flying a Trump flag off his home, or he talks about conspiracy theories, so I think he's crazy, so he needs, I'm going to call the cops or file a report on this guy because red flag law, and then all that stuff sort of happens, or whatever the case is, right? Some fabricated story about an ex who's crazy by some, a bitter ex, and fabricates a story about their past lover just to screw them over, something like that. So red flag laws are a super slippery slope into people just arbitrarily filing reports on people they don't like for whatever reason, personal, political, just to screw them over. So yeah, red flag laws, big problem.
Exactly. We're innocent till proven guilty. I think that's the biggest issue with this, is that, a society based on the rule of law does not decide, for whatever reason, to strip certain people of their rights before they've committed a crime. You can have the idea of all sorts of things, but that doesn't mean just the concept in your mind is enough to remove your rights, or anything for that matter, like you said, and it can't be weaponized. So, and the last one here, only law enforcement should have guns. There might actually be another one. Let me check. Okay, there is one more, but we kind of covered this one already. You want to say anything more about this?
Only law enforcement should have guns. Well, number one, yeah, the point of, but how far away is that law enforcement going to be? Could be an hour away, if not more. There you go. And second, it's so weird when people say, defund the police, I don't like the cops, but only government should have guns. But wait, you're the one that doesn't like the government, but now you're advocating for the government to be the only one with guns. Good job, genius. Right. And how much training? I mean, honestly, it's kind of like doctors and their piss poor nutrition training they get. Law enforcement, do they only have to pass a shooting exam or shooting qualification? Is it once a year, twice a year? And it's really not, I think the FBI's is like once a year, and it's really not all that difficult. I mean, we should, and don't get me wrong, there's a lot of cops out there that are great shooters because they do a lot more training than just for their qualifications. They're out there training, practicing shooting all the time, but your lazy Joe Schmo cop who isn't all that proficient with a firearm, advocating for them to be allowed to be the only ones that have them. And also, there's plenty of videos on the internet where you get like one or two cops responding to a call, and it's with a super violent criminal that shoots the cops. The cops are out of commission. And I was just watching one of these videos like last week, and then a neighbor responds with his own firearm and helps the cops pin down this criminal, and basically saves the cops' lives because the bystander had a firearm to help the cops with. I mean, there's been a few examples out there of this. So, this whole point that only law enforcement or the government should have guns, promoted by people who don't trust the government, and it makes no sense.
Yeah, the hypocrisy is palpable on that one. Mm-hmm. Great point. All right, so for our last one here, high capacity magazines are linked with increased gun violence. At least that's the argument. I don't know, actually know much about this one in particular. I know obviously it falls into the same kind of category as, well, what do they mean by arms? And some gun control advocates argue that, well, because the colonialists didn't have assault rifles or whatever that is supposed to mean, then, you know, we shouldn't have them either. I think it's about defense, and it's really, in my opinion, it's about more of the spirit of it. What's the intent? If your intent is to be a criminal, then you're going to pick up a knife and be a criminal. You're going to use a car. You're going to use whatever you need to be a criminal. If the intent is to defend and protect yourself, then you need an arm to do it. And if you're going up against a criminal that has a superior arm than you, then you're not necessarily going to be as protected as if you have something with, you know, a high capacity magazine, conceivably. So what are some of your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure our founding fathers would have loved to have a 30 round AR-15 in their fight against the redcoats. What does high capacity even mean? Again, that's subjective and arbitrary. What is high capacity to some left-wing liberal would be, well, that's not enough to me or to somebody else. So the standard argument, or the standard definition, I should say, for quote-unquote high capacity. So the average magazine for an AR-15 holds 30 rounds. Your average magazine for a pistol holds about 15 to 17 for your full-size pistols. Some of these Democrat states, like I know California, I think Washington, some of these other blue states, they essentially banned the sale of magazines in their state if it has more than 10 rounds. So I guess their definition of high capacity is anything over 10 rounds. But the issue is, if you're in a stressful situation and you've got, you know, maybe your house is getting broken into by a robber, when you're in an incredibly stressful situation and that adrenaline's dumping in you, you can miss a lot of shots. Your aim can get very bad. Even if you're a good shooter and on the flat range, your aim is on point, in a stressful situation like that, your aim can get really bad. So, and especially if you're dealing with not just one robber, but maybe two or three, 10 rounds might be nothing. Might be nothing in that gunfight. So high capacity magazines, I mean, and what does high capacity even mean? Oh, we don't need AR-15s with 30 rounds. Well, if the Chinese were invading, then I'll take as many high capacity magazines as I can get. But anyway, that's, you know, very low probability hypothetical. Although, yeah, this is the whole high capacity assault rifles. Like, it's just, oh, it's so repetitive and nonsensical from the gun control lobby.
Right. And it appeals to, I think, people who don't really know much about guns. They don't know much about having to protect themselves. You know, there's a reason why these things tend to work well in highly populated cities, because there is an adequate law force there, at least enough to where most people don't have to worry about it that much. But like you said, when you're out in the country and it takes 30 minutes for somebody to get out to you, or you've got coyotes that are trying to kill all your chickens or whatever the situation is, then it becomes a little more real in the fact that you need a weapon to defend and protect yourself. So,
and these are low information voters that are being targeted. They really don't know anything about these subjects, and they just regurgitate whatever talking points they hear from the media or their favorite politician. And these are really very low IQ politicians that parrot these same talking points as well. How many times have we heard from people like Joe Biden or Kamala Harris or others? They try to start discussing the firearm issue, and you can tell they don't know shit about shit when it comes to it. Fully semi-automatic handguns and all the different things they say. It's like, you don't know anything of what you're talking about, and yet they're acting as, you know, the law enforcement government on the issue. So it's just awful.
Yeah, I think you know, another thing to keep in mind as we wrap this one up is the fact that the government actively manipulates things. I mean, look at what's happening at the border. There's 8 million people, something like that, that have come across the border, a good number are criminals. A good number of people have been killed by the people who've come across the border. So the same people that are telling you we need to disarm everybody, which is the government, and the same people who are telling you that we're just going to let all these people walk across the border are the ones that aren't actually taking steps to defend and protect your rights. And in effect, what they're doing is they're saying one thing and then they're doing another. So they're cheaters, they're liars, they're scam artists. They're people that want to, they'll even go as far, and the CIA has been known to do this, to increase crime rates, to move some piece of legislation down the road or to otherwise change government. So it's the same basic thing here. I think that, you know, if we were playing with honest players, to put use a game analogy, it'd be one thing, but we're not. And there's a million different examples we can cite for that being the case. So you can't really try to have a discussion about whether gun control is legitimate when you're playing with somebody who will lie, steal, and cheat as a way to get what they want done.
Yeah, and speaking of misrepresented statistics, this is one I've seen a lot from the left-wing political clowns the past few days. I mean, this is one they've talked about for years, but their argument is that guns are the number one cause of death for kids in America. That's a supposed factoid that the left loves to throw out there. Claim that guns are the number one cause of death for kids in America. That is flat out wrong. I think Biden even tweeted this recently, and he was community noted. He was fact checked by Twitter. Nice. So no, the real leading cause of death for kids in America are just accidents, general accidents. The only way you can legitimately claim that firearms are the number one cause of death for kids in America is if you manipulate the statistics to a point where you exclude all kids under 1 year old, babies, and you include 18 and 19 year olds who technically are not kids. They are now adults, right? So they have to manipulate the statistics in a way to include 18 and 19 year olds for them to be able to say, oh, guns are the leading number one cause of death for kids in America. No, you're just only adding in 18 and 19 year olds because you want to pad the statistics. So it's just accidents, general accidents, drowning, car accidents, falling, things like that. So there's all kinds of misrepresented statistics. And at the end of the day, if we want to, I guess, make headway on this issue and combat the gun control lobby and the crazies out there just pushing for more power and control and more gun laws and all this sort of stuff, we have to be good stewards. Yes. The idea of a firearm is it's a very powerful tool. It's a tool that has a lot of potential to both end a life and save a life. And there are too many. I mean, there's not that many, but any example of this is too many. But people that are just being stupid with these tools, not knowing the proper safety rules, flashing them out in public. I mean, I've seen kind of numerous videos of just like road rage incidents where two dudes were like honking at each other and there was no real need to get all pissed. But then one guy's all hopped up on something, gets out of his car, starts flashing his gun. Like, it's this kind of shit, right, that gives firearms a bad name and is used by political people to advance their agendas against firearms. So at the end of the day, we need to be good, proper, responsible stewards with those tools on this issue, not, you know, put a bunch of gun stickers all over our car and then drive around town like a douchebag and just be an asshole. Like, I do see quite a bit of that. So, those are my final thoughts on the topic.
Yeah, 100%. Good, being good stewards is a good rule of thumb pretty much in any situation, certainly with this one. So I guess that pretty much wraps it up. The woke agenda is to disarm you and take away your rights, and this is how they're going to do it with gun control. So anything else that we should cover? No, I think that pretty much does it. So any final words?
We appreciate all you guys for listening in. Sorry I haven't been here for a few weeks, but going forward, I should be able to be here every single week, whether live or we have to pre-record the video. So Next week, I think Justin and I are pretty busy for the next week. So next week, we might have to do one more episode on destroying the woke agenda. But after that, we'll start diving into some other fun subjects. So I think that finishes it up for us here. Episode 72 already, Knowledge Based on Badlands Media. Go check out Justin, Vigilant News, on Sundays and Mondays still.
That's right.
Sundays and Mondays, Vigilant News. Go find me on my personal channels, Rumble, Telegram, Twitter, elsewhere. Appreciate you guys. We'll see you next week.
Sounds rolling. All three cameras, we're good.
Is there any regrets that you have in life? I should sit here and say, yeah, I got a lot of regrets. But when I look back on my life and I understand the lives that were lost, I mean, I'm sitting here with you. And I can tell my story.
Former National Security Advisor, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, pleaded guilty today for lying to the FBI.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
He was, by definition, the most dangerous possible person for Donald Trump to hire.
Only brilliant military career serving 33 years.
Why was he being so elusive?
Mike Flynn told the truth and faced like an adversity.
Thank you so much for joining us, and don't forget to hit the thumbs up on this video. And a special thank you to all of our advertising partners. Please remember to shift your dollars to support those businesses that support Badlands Media.